deep down, we all want to be free, let's say. We all want to be somehow free. But in this modern world, all this kind of a technology, all these things, somehow life make easier, but somehow make more difficult, because that's make we need more conditions, you know. I need this, I need this, I need that, I need this. Everything need more need, more need, more need, more needs. In this world, it's kind of more look like a big shopping center, isn't it? When you go in the big shopping center, it's more difficult to connect to yourself. You're more surprised what is in the shops. You know, yeah. Sometimes you go in the shopping center, you are so little in yourself, you don't realize you're tired, you don't realize you need to drink water, and then you come out of the shopping center, you realize how much you are tired, how much you're thirsty, because it's, you know, I think so many things happening around, you know, so many interesting things, oh, nice things happening, you know, and that's why we forget it sometimes, and that's why it's more difficult to connect with ourselves sometimes. But in the West, and also we have this pressure, in the social pressure. It's not culture. Nobody organized. They don't have a leader, okay? They don't have a leader who organized, but somehow the social pressure, you know? We need to be good person. We need to be helpful person. We need to smiling. We need to be very compassionate person. And, you know, you know, yeah, this is social pressure. You need to be very nice and beautiful. And nobody wants to talk, but, you know, it's the, I call invisible enemy, because the social pressure is everywhere, but you know, possible say, you don't know who organized. Nobody organized, you know. And this pressure is so strong. And therefore, sometimes also you need to be nice, your neighbors, you need to be compassionate, this and that. Maybe you do because of the pressure of the social, not really come out of your heart. Mm. You know, sometimes also happen this form of religion. You know, sometimes you don't do religion because of you really want it, because of, I mean, everybody doing that, somehow you need to do, you know. And therefore, I think whatever you do, pressure of others, is make you ill, make you sick.
Hallo Herz, schön, dass du eingeschaltet hast. Ich bin Nadine Gerhardt und dieser Podcast ist mein absolutes Herzensprojekt, um dich zu inspirieren auf deinem ganz individuellen Weg zu mehr Fülle, Liebe und Lebensfreude. Hallo du Wunder, einen großartigen Montag und einen ganz inspirierenden Wochenanfang wünsche ich dir und ja, ich strahle, weil du hast eingeschaltet in eine neue Folge, in ein neues Interview mit einem ganz tollen Interviewgast. Das war eines meiner ersten Podcast-Interviews, so rum. Und ich war ziemlich nervös, weil weder bei mir noch bei ihm ist die Muttersprache Englisch. Und ich dachte nur so, oh Gott, hoffentlich versteht er mein Englisch. Es ist aber alles gut gegangen. Und ich entscheide ja immer sehr intuitiv, wann die Themen wo hineinpassen, in welche Zeit. Und es ist eine ja, wundervolle Ergänzung zu dem Podcast Mut zur Langsamkeit, bewusstes Konsumverhalten und überhaupt die letzten Podcasts. Du wirst es hören, du wirst es spüren, hoffe ich doch. Und manches klingt erstmal so banal. Und wenn wir aber tiefer hineintauchen und wirklich die Energie auch hinter den Worten spüren können, da kommt so viel rüber und er hat ein ganz, ganz tiefes Wissen. Der liebe, ehrwürdige Tulku Lobsang Rinpoche. Er ist ein buddhistischer Meister und die Basis seiner Lehren ist das uralte tantrische Wissen und der tibetische Buddhismus, über das wir auch sprechen. Und er hat lange in Tibet gelebt, er ist dort groß geworden, er ist dort geboren. Er wurde mit 13 Jahren schon in einer ganz feierlichen Zeremonie als die achte Inkarnation des Tulku Nenzu, ich hoffe, ich spreche es richtig aus, intronisiert. Und er hatte so viele Lehrer, so viele Mentoren gehabt. Und nicht nur in Tibet, auch in Indien. Er ist irgendwann hier in den Westen gekommen, um diese östlichen Lehren weiterzugeben an uns. Und ja, ich freue mich riesig, dass Tulku Lobsang zugesagt hat. Ich bin durchs Zimmer getanzt und ja, jetzt ist es einfach dran. Und heute geht es darum, dass du Zufriedenheit zuallererst in dir finden darfst. Und ich wünsche dir ganz, ganz viel Freude damit. Can you please tell us something about your career path? How did you become what you are today?
I born in Tibet, and then I have the monastic education to this Buddhist philosophies, all the things I learned in Tibet. First time went in the local monastery, then other big monastery, then other big monastery, you know. Yeah, and there basically learn medicine and also Buddhist philosophy and depend the monastery, but you kind of learn in this big monastery, you kind of possible learn everything in the monastery. Small monastery, not everything, but I have a monastic education, yes.
And what is your mission?
I don't really have a good answer there. I think I'm always saying people, I say it this way, I don't believe life have a purpose. It's, life is just a path, and I think we are the purpose, let's say this way. And therefore, I mean, I just, you know, with I have with some of the Buddhist teachings and practice, I try to, how much I can, to discover in my deep nature, let's say, you know. And then try to be, let's say, happy person, and if possible, help others. But first I try to be happy person, yeah. And then to, let's say, I put this way, I try to be happy person. First I try to be happy and healthy person in this life, let's say. And then is then rest I try to help with my teachings or whatever others. Maybe you call this is my mission or what, but not really. I don't have a really mission, I don't think so. I don't know, yeah.
What makes you laugh and what do you do to make others laugh?
Well, in our body have, let's say, let's say in two really important nature healing in our body. One is laughing and one is asleep, let's say this way. And then also one is a death, maybe then, you know. And we have this nature gift in our body. We use that, you know, to free of our past, you know, all things, let's say our strength imprints. I mean, encoding the Buddhist teachings, laughing is the only human brain is possible do. They say 99% there say is the only human brain quality. It's the laughing or joke or these things. I think why, I mean, let's say this way, why we need to love him? Because the human beings is the only who have a thought. Okay? Thought. We all have mind. I mean, we say basic mind, conditional mind, then we call a relational mind. The relational mind means a thought. Because of a thought, we possible make a relation. And that's how we make our life, you know, we possible connected. Past and future, all these things, we possible because of thought. And that's also because we have this brain. And therefore, I think thought sometimes is very powerful and very, very, very powerful. Very powerful, true, but also same time he created many tensions, fears, and expectations. I think human beings have more fear, let's say, than any species in this earth, or human beings have more expectation than in any species in this earth. Wherever have a fear and expectation, and this creates some kind of a tension in your mind, in your body, you know, and that is to when you are laughing, you go to release these tensions naturally, and therefore laughing is a very, very important nature healing, I think.
Do you teach love yoga? Do you have it in Tibet?
I mean, it's in our Tibetan culture, you know, it's our culture is a joke or laughing in the monastery lives. Everyday life is really, very important, very, very important. And also in our Tibetan yoga, or we call Lujong, and they have practice of the laughing. They have a 12 different kind of laughing mantras. We call Dharmakaya mantra or something. Dharmakaya means the voice of the nature, something, you know. It's a voice of the nature. It's therefore, therefore I'm not directly teaching to laughing, specially. And I don't think, I don't teach specially, but yes, we have. But I think maybe in this modern world, we also need such teachings, you know. We are too far of the nature, you know. And in this 21st century of, the mind dominate everything, you know. And we are not, let's say, we are not so much respect body, you know. Body have this, you know, we not respect, laughing or exercise or sleep, all body need us, you know, and we don't, you know, we just mind want so much, like mind dominated, and the body, we not enough take care. That's why we sometimes forget to laughing, all sorts of things. We are so much in the mind, we forget it somehow our body, let's say. And therefore, I think in this kind of a time, I think it's good to have some, it's kind of a funny, but it's good to teaching is also laughing. You know, we say we are 21st century, we are modern world, we are very educated world. It's kind of funny, you need to teach them to laughing, you know, but somehow we are too far. It's good teaching, I think, yeah. I know some people are teaching this, you know. It's very well functional, yeah.
Great. You have mastered self-healing powers. From your philosophy, what can you recommend to us to so that we remain healthy through this special time?
I think we need to see is the it's let's say this they have many different kind of healing methods, but in Tibetan traditions, we have there many, many methods, but one, I think, simple method is the we call healing of nature. And the healing of nature means what really mean the relaxation or this. The relaxation is the is not medicine, but is healing. Relaxation is not knowledge, but is wisdom. Relaxation is not money, but is wealth. Therefore, right. Is the that means is the relaxation have healing power because it's sometime, let's say, you have a physical pain, you have a mental suffering, you have a troubles in your life, whatever, you know, one thing you need to do to relax, you know, just to relax means be nature, you know. And to, once you be nature, once you to relax, you know, mentally you become more clear and your body's tensions or blocks reducing. And therefore, I always telling people, maybe you forget all things, but maybe you try to remember one thing, you know, relax. We are the world of action. Yeah? Right. We are world of action. Each mental action, verbal action, physical action, each action, our action change the world. World, I mean, our action make a different world. Maybe we don't see, but yes, we believe make a different. Therefore, we are world of the action, you know, the action make change the world. And therefore, before you make any kind of action, mentally, verbally, physically, I say, relax. No, be calm and relax. And this is me, is the simplest and easiest healing practice.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. And it's not only sleeping, right?
Yes, correct. Yes, is relaxation. I mean, yeah, the relaxation means not really mean sleep, you know. Relaxation means it's a relaxation and laziness also big different, you know. Mm. I mean, I always say we have three different kind of laziness, you know. We have laziness who. Let's say laziness who don't want to do anything. I say laziness of body, and you're not interested in do anything, you know. I don't think this kind of laziness so much in this kind of Western world, or I don't know, it's the modern world. Yeah, this laziness is not so dangerous, and you don't want to do anything. Yes, it's a problem, but it's not so complicated, you know. But then we have a second kind of laziness who want to do tomorrow. And this, I say, laziness in the mind. And then we have the number third laziness is the we call laziness who always need to other thing. You know, and this laziness have very much in this 21st century in the modern world. You know, people call they're busy, isn't it? When they say they're very busy, and we know that we think they are not lazy because they're busy, but this busy is laziness. This laziness is a secret laziness, and this laziness one of most dangerous illness in the modern world. You know.
Can you explain it a little bit more?
I mean, the laziness, we say number third laziness who always need to other think means you never have a time to really do what you want somehow because you're so successful, because you're so busy, whatever reason. And also, let's this way, you know, example, you want to do yoga or lujong, or let's say you want to do meditation, And maybe you want to make, let's say, half hour meditation, but the meter of meditation you want to read in book. You know, you always, you need to do something. You know, you nothing you possible to complete and continue. And this kind of laziness we call intelligent laziness is a very dangerous laziness. It's because it looks like you are busy. You're always doing something, but nothing done. Nothing really, really, really done. And this created a deeper tension in you. Lack of a satisfaction, you know? And I'm sure people say you're a very hard work person, you're very much, you know, but this kind of laziness we have in this modern world, and this is a very dangerous laziness, because nobody see this is laziness and you don't realize this is laziness, but this laziness always need to do other thing, or always he need to other thing, he never possible do what he really want to do. And that's why in the Buddha say laziness make you kill, or let's say laziness make you a dead person without dying. Therefore, laziness, is the one of the most strongest illness ever have in our human life.
Yeah.
Therefore, that's why people say is laziness and the relaxation is looks similar. You know, it looks same. But it's a totally different result. When you relax and you feel after power. When you're lazy, after you feel more tired, you know. Maybe look like similar, you know. You look just, we don't know, he relax or he lazy. But the result is totally different. Therefore, yes, laziness is the big problem. And then we don't have energy, you know? Then we don't have the self-power. Yeah.
Yeah. How could we change that?
I think you need a reason. Let's say a reason is very much power. But the problem, most people don't have a really reason. Maybe let's say people want to meditate. Let's say, you know, I say, why? Maybe mostly people don't have big reason. Mostly people have a little reason. What do you reason? Oh, just try out. You know, they know have the reason. You have a stronger, a deeper reason, and you have a power, you know? They know have a reason. Therefore, a reason is power. And therefore, whatever you want to do, you need a strong reason.
Mm-hmm.
You need a powerful reason. Once you find this powerful reason, and then you have energy to do, the rest of your life. Or another way we say, you need a big love, you know? And therefore I always say love of 1 minute enough give power to the rest of your life. Example, I'm falling in love with something, I'm falling in love with somebody, truly I'm falling in love with somebody, the love I experience, let's say 1 minute, and this 1 minute of the love give me power to rest of my life. Therefore, love or reason, you know, or you have a both. And then you don't have this laziness, you know. Mostly nowadays, we don't have a reason so much, you know. We have a little reason, but that's not enough. And then, you know, they don't have also big love because we control it, isn't it? I'm making jokes. Sometimes people I say, the first love is the best love, because when we are first time when we love, we are not so intelligent, I'm saying, you know. And when you more and more become intelligent, you more and more controlled. You know, more, I understand why we need to control, you know, but you more and more controlled, and then they have a, you don't feel this power, this power, you know, when, yeah.
If people don't have this reason, how can they find them?
I think is the best way to find it is question. Yes, question, I always say, Buddha is the past way, maybe 2,600 years ago, but I always say the replace of a Buddha is a question. You know, question make Buddha become Buddha, or question make the person, or let's say Buddha become Buddha, and the question make birth in the Buddhist teachings. Therefore, I'm always say, you know, we believe Buddhisms, all of the sentient beings include animals or cows and the dogs, we all believe they have Buddha nature. Include mosquitoes, we believe they all have a Buddha nature. But dogs and the cows, no possible become or Buddhism, or they're not, so let's say they're not possible become Buddhism practitioner because their body make their limitation. But they have Buddha nature. My Buddha nature, the dog's Buddha nature, you know, is not different. They have a potential to be happy forever. Yes, our potential level not different, but the body is make limitation, you know. I have, let's say, body, better body because of I have this brain. Mm-hmm. You know, this brain make me, I mean, little different. Therefore, in the human brain is the, I think, nearly only brain who possible give a question. And therefore, I always say, question is a very, very, very powerful. I say, question is not the Buddha, but the replace of Buddha. Question, I always say, guiding us. Question always helping us. Question always healing us. I always say, people who don't have a question, them is very dangerous. Maybe you're enlightened. Maybe you're enlightened. I'm sure you know you're enlightened or not, and you still don't have a question. Maybe, you. I mean, let's say, therefore I say, my conclusion, question is the way to find it, is a reason. A reason give you power. Yes, question you don't need really, I don't think a question is everywhere, isn't it? Everyday life, you know. Therefore, yeah, that's what I like to say, yeah.
Thank you. Old structures are breaking down. What new ones could emerge from this? What contributions are people making at this time, and what contributions could they make to allow everyone to come together to emerge anew?
I think we are human beings. We are human beings is the only we have this, I call life of present and the life of past and life of future, you know. I think the animals, they only have one kind of life of present moment. They are not going beyond the five sensory. They are not going to beyond the five senses. They only have a life of five senses, mostly. I'm sure they have a life of mind, but not much. And that's why the animals have very powerful sensory, five senses, you know, that's their, that they have more power than us, this level. And therefore my conclusion, sensory life is life of a present moment. Mm-hmm. And we also have a sensory life, clear, but not much, not strong like what animals experience. But we have the life of mind. You know, we are less in the sensory world and we are more world of mind. And the mind mostly, let's say, you know, our mind is mostly is a following of the past and invite future. That means we go to beyond the sensory because we have this powerful mind, and this mind, because of mind, you know, and because of mind, we have this thought. Because of this thought, we have a past and we have a future. My conclusion, what I want to say, I always say, don't follow your past and just learn with your past. Yes, if you follow your past, you never become growing, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I say you follow your past, it's maybe past become your enemy.